So go ahead and turn to lesson 45 in your book. And if you are listening to this recorded online, know that we do have a business meeting tonight. So we only have about 15 or so minutes, 12 or 15 minutes to go through some of our study. And then we're going to transition to our regular meeting for that. So if you look at lesson 45 and turn to Matthew, you want to start introducing what this lesson is about. The first chapter of Matthew. The last couple weeks we looked at the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew was a Jewish, has more of a Jewish flavor with this Gospel. A lot of Old Testament quotations to prove to the Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. Mark is a frantic hyper dude, right? He writes quickly. Everything is immediately and immediately and then immediately. Okay, fast-paced type Gospel. Doesn't give quite as much, detail in some ways. Luke is a doctor. He is the medical physician. And he writes a lengthy Gospel, but he also is trying to explain to Theophilus what the basics of the faith are and who Jesus was and what he did. And then John is the oddball. Isn't that right, Jill? John is the oddball. Okay. So that's her husband, by the way. So John, he doesn't listen to these, does he?
No,
I'm just playing. So John, the gospel writer, is the oddball because he's a lot more theological. He doesn't really focus on teaching and parables. He focuses more on the identity. Okay, who is Jesus? And his main point is he is God in the flesh. He is a son of God. Now, lesson 45. What we're going to do with this is now it's going to focus on the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And then also focus on what the four Gospels start with when they introduce this one named Jesus from Nazareth. So the first question, I think this is really, really good, and I hope we'll get through more than just this tonight. But I will say here, as you start to look at the four Gospels, and we're going to talk about the start of each of those on this first page, you've got to be able to answer the question, who is this man named Jesus? That's what these four Gospels are trying to answer as each is introduced. And what happens is, if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and what they say about, you know, when Jesus appears and comes onto the scene, you can put together a picture of who he is. Now, if you haven't heard this before, I'll put it up here tonight. I'm sure you have. But remember when Jesus asked, you know, kind of having a conversation with the disciples, and he's like, who do people say I am? And they say, well, some say you're a prophet. Some say you're, like, weird as it sounds, John the Baptist, come back to life, right? Dude was beheaded. Not a good way to go, but at least it was quick. But they think that you've come back like that. So there's lots of ideas of who you may be. And then Jesus turns and says, oh, hold on, but who do you say I am? Right? You've got to get that question right. So I think it was C.S. Lewis who basically says you've got three options when it comes to who Jesus is. So let me put these up here. I've shared these through the years, I know. And I think it'll make sense to you. And I kind of like the way he does this. All right, here are the three, and I mean, there may be other ways, but these are three good options. Here's the truth of the matter. When this guy was born, and we're going to see this next week, at about 30 years of age, he begins a public ministry. All right, when he starts teaching things with authority, when he is described as God himself, when he performs miracles that people's never seen done before, they've all got to then decide, who exactly is this guy? Because there was confusion in the first century. Because we know that he was born there in the home of, you know, Joseph and Mary. So he's probably just a carpenter and belonging to a carpenter, but there's something more than that. So years ago, again, I think it was C.S. Lewis that summarized it like this. He said, Jesus either is a liar, or he's a crazy man, or he truly is the Lord. Right? I mean, it's that simple. So either everything he said was a lie and he made up everything so you can push him aside, or if you like better, that he was just a lunatic, he's just pure crazy. You know, people, there's a real thing as mental mental sickness, mental health issues. And so maybe he had some serious mental things going on, seeing things, saying weird things. The guy truly is like weird. He's a lunatic. I mean, that's an option if you want to look at it that way. But C.S. Lewis says, when you look at his ministry and study historically all the evidence for a real man who did these things, if you've had clear thinking, a clear mind, you realize he can't be lying about this. There's too much evidence. He's not a lunatic. There's too much eyewitness. And that leads you to conclude he must truly be then Lord. So you've got to answer the question. Okay, who is Jesus? And I'll say, when missionaries go into foreign lands, that's one of the primary things they've got to try to help people understand, because people have different conceptions. And I think I shared this before. Get into a Hindu context where there's 330 million gods. Now, what happens, missionaries will say, what's hard in that context is when a Hindu hears about Jesus, they're like, yippee, I like him. I'll trust in him. But what they do, they add him to their 330 million gods. So now they got 330 million and one gods. No. It don't work that way. Okay? He alone is God, right? You don't put him on the same level as all these other idols and false gods. So you've got to answer that question. Who is this man? Now here's what happens. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm trying to go faster than usual so I can get at least 10 minutes in here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they answer this question for us in the first couple chapters of each book. So let's start with Matthew. Here's what we find in Matthew. The very first verse as Matthew begins. Okay, this is the very first book of your New Testament. So the very first instance you're going to have where you're going to learn about this Messiah. It says there that this book of Matthew is a book of the genealogy. Okay, so this is like the family tree, telling you where he came from. This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Okay, very first verse, you're already introduced with the main character of the New Testament, right? Matthew calls him two things. He is a son of David, and David is a son of Abraham. Now here's, Matthew connects Jesus to two key figures of the Old Testament. Both Abraham and David, remember we talked about in the Old Testament, you've got the Abrahamic covenant, you've got the Davidic covenant. And God had promised through Abraham that you're going to have many, many descendants, and those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you shall be cursed. All right. Everything about Abraham leads to his descendants, ultimately leading to this Messiah. Matthew connects him to Abraham. Because the Jews, right? Abraham, big important dude. He's a Jewish gospel writer. But what's really key, saying he's a son of David, he is fulfilling the covenant that God made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. That you will never, ever have a descendant who will not be on the throne. Your kingdom's going to last forever. So throughout Jesus' ministry, he's known as the son of David, fulfilling that covenant that God made. 2 Samuel chapter 7. So Matthew says, as we start thinking about who he is, answering the question, very clear, he is directly descended from Father Abraham, Jewish people. He's also coming through David, that promise made that he would have a son who would reign forever, and there'd be no end to his kingdom, which we'll see into the book of Revelation and into eternity. Then Matthew says one more thing, more on a little bit more like the human level now, specifically. Later in chapter 1, you've got the Christmas story, part of the Christmas story. And it's here where you read, as you go through conception and birth, that he's also son of Mary, and she was married to Joseph. So if you're trying to identify in the first century, okay, Matthew's going to help you. You're a Jewish person. He's going to tell you from whose loins he came, right? Okay, Mary, and she was married to Joseph. So we've got that, you know, most kind of like immediate connection. But Matthew goes further back and says, but he's also going all the way back to Abraham and David as well. So as you start answering the question, Matthew looks at it a little bit more from a purely, like more like the human side and his descendancy from these great leaders, and then how he came at Christmas time with Mary. Okay? Now let me do Mark real quick, and I got to stop because I know we got a lot to cover with business meeting tonight. Here's Mark's answer real quick. I like Mark. Remember, Mark is immediately quick, boom. End of story. Let's move on. You find this in Mark, very first verse. How does he start his gospel? Mark says, this is the beginning of the gospel or good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says, the Son of God. Now, that's how Mark starts it. You know, that can cause some issues for people who don't think he really is Son of God. And Mark's right from the start saying, I want you to know something. He is the Son of God. And then when you get down to verse 11, see, now Mark skips a lot of stuff. There's no Christmas story in Mark. He goes straight to the baptism. In verse 11, the voice comes out of the heavens, and here's God the Father speaking, Thou art my beloved Son. Should be capital S in your Bible, right? God the Father, God the Son, speaking to this one, eternal one. And again, you find Mark begins and says, when you try to answer that question of who he is a Son of God. Whew. I got a lot more to it than we realize. It's almost like, you think about Matthew's almost emphasizing he's a Son of Man aspect. Mark a little more emphasizes Son of God. And it kind of goes back and forth some with the different accounts.